let's take our Bibles back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11. For the last couple of times we've been visiting this book, we've been taking pretty good chunks. Tonight we've got one verse, so a little change of pace here. Probably one of the most practical messages that we'll have. I did forget a verse, or forget to comment on a verse, and when we went through all those verses in chapter 10 about the contrast of the wicked and the righteous, and I did not mention verse 27, where it said, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." There is a contrast there. Of course, if you'll live right, God promises to prolong your days, and a lot of people don't know that or believe that, but you can have a longer or a shorter life based upon the wisdom that you apply to yourself or you fail to apply to yourself. You see that in the verse? Prolongeth days and shorten days. That means Calvinism is a lie, by the way. You know, Calvinism says whatever's going to be is going to be, and it's already settled. And well, that verse says that's not true. You can shorten your life. You can lengthen your life. And the book tells us that if we'll honor our father and mother, and we went through that in Ephesians chapter 6, our days will be long, and that first commandment with promise. And notice the difference in verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. And then he says, the years of the wicked shall be shortened. So he takes the days of those that fear God and he contrasts them to the years of those that have a wicked life. Our days can be lengthened, prolonged because we fear God, and the years start being chopped off of the wicked's life. I don't know about you, but when God starts taking away years off your life, that's pretty serious. Praise the Lord, I can add some days to my life, but I don't think I want to lose any years. And so it pays to do right. It doesn't pay to live a wicked life, though sometimes that's the beauty that Hollywood tries to show, but it's all a fake lie. Just like soap operas and everything else on TV. It's all fake, not real. All right, our one verse tonight, Proverbs 11, verse 1. Great verse in the Bible. Proverbs 11, 1 says, "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight." Now, the first thing we want to do is look at the doctrinal context of what that means. What's he talking about? Now, in the days of the Bible, when they bought and sold things, they had balances and weights to do that. If you would turn to chapter 16 of Proverbs, he's going to mention this again in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 11. He says in Proverbs 16:11, "A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are His work." In other words, things that are right and things that measure up and things that are the proper weight, God has all of that in His bag. It's His work that God wants everything measured correctly and weighed correctly. Look at chapter 20, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 10. Proverbs 20 and verse 10, he continues to discuss that. He said, "Divers weights and divers measures." Now, somebody said, "What's divers?" Well, I remember I heard Brother Farley preach a message one time about count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And he preached a weird message. He said, "When I think of divers," he says, "I think about deep water, diving deep down in the water." Or you could say this word like this, diverse. He says here in this verse 10, divers weights, divers measures. In other words, they're different. In other words, this guy's got different weights and different measures. What does that mean in verse 10? "Both of them are alike, abomination to the Lord." What's he talking about? Same thing in our verse over there. False balance is abomination to the Lord. Well, drop on down in the same chapter of Proverbs 20. Look at verse 23. divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance, there's that phrase again, is not good. You know, God doesn't like a cheat. What he's talking about, people that cheat. They got one weight and one measure if they're going to buy something. And they've got another weight and another measure if they're going to sell something. You understand what I'm saying? It's a shyster. It's somebody that's slick. And don't you remember? Well, you can do that today. You can go in, you buy something, and they'll weigh your, well, maybe they don't. It's all packaged. But they used to weigh your cheese. You know, I want a pound of cheese. And they'd cut it off and stick it up there. Well, you know, if that guy had a different weight on there, in other words, it reads more than what it actually is, he's cheating you. He's selling you a pound worth of cheese, and he's making money on a pound worth of cheese, but he's just giving you 3/4 of a pound. But when it was the other way around, they had a different set of measures when they go to buy something. They're just cheating people. You know, I don't know. You know, when you go to the gas station, how do you know you get a gallon worth of gas? I mean, I don't know. I don't measure it. Well, there's supposed to be somebody that comes by and keeps that thing measured right so that you don't get cheated. Now, this was a part of the law. Would you go to Leviticus? Leviticus chapter 19, I believe it is. Leviticus 19. And God says, look, you ought to have a right measurement. We're going to get to that in just a second. You ought to have a right measurement on things. You don't have one measurement for you and another measurement for somebody else. So it's even deeper than trying to cheat somebody. And there's plenty of people that try to do that. God hates a cheater. He hates a deceiver. It's an abomination. Leviticus 19, look at verse 35. He said, now this is the doctrinal context, the meaning of what we just read. A false balance is an abomination of the Lord, but a just way is his delight. Leviticus 19:35, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meteard, in weight, or in measure. And then he goes on to say, verse 36, just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin. Now, those are dry measurements. It'd be like you going and say, you know, I want to buy a bushel of beans or something, and they don't give you a full bushel for it. And I just had, how many of you know what a bushel of beans is? I had a funny look by somebody there. I remember my grandpa, he used to sell sweet potatoes by the bushel on the side. And, you know, you could easily shortchange somebody, not give them everything they're supposed to get. And he says, your balances, your weights should be the same. You know, if we're not careful, we can not only cheat people, but we can cheat God. In other words, we can expect God to be just with us, but we don't return the same honesty back toward him. We can be a cheat in a different way. We can have a certain measurement for people that we don't like or people that we don't know and have a different measurement for our own lives. That's sort of like what the Pharisees did, you know. They had a high expectation or weight or measure for other people, but when it came to their own self or their own family, that they lowered that expectation. And God says it needs to be across the line. Why would God expect less from me than he would expect from someone else? Why would God measure me and give me a pass, but measure somebody else and bring the judgment down on them? And so there goes to something of a hypocritical standard here. He says, just weights, a just ephah, just hin shall you have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. He said, look, I brought you out of Egypt. I've done this in your life. Be honest. Be forthright. Don't cheat other people. I'd say this, you know, you can not only cheat people, you know, you can cheat yourself. You know how many people cheat their own selves? You know, God's got a great life for you. God has a wonderful life for all of His children. But some people cheat themselves out of that kind of life because they won't measure up to the things God's trying to work in their heart. And they give themselves a pass. We'll see that just in a minute. And when they put their self or their heart on the balance scale and it's not measuring right with God, they just sort of excuse themselves and forget it. And really what they're doing, you're cheating your own self in that regard. You're hurting you. You're hurting the life and the blessing that God wants to work in your life. So don't cheat yourself. Don't cheat God. You know, Jesus, He paid a big price for you. And He ought to get something back from our lives in return. Look, Christians cheat God out of their lives all the time by saying, "This is my life. It's not your life. It's the Lord's life. And I don't want to cheat somebody else. And I don't want to cheat myself, but I sure don't want to cheat God. And God deserves the very best that I can give to Him. And when I don't give Him my best," that's why, you know, to do less than our best is sin, because we're cheating God out of what He really deserved. So that's the context, I think, if you go back to the verse. The very context of what He's trying to say: a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Everything ought to be fair and honest and forthright, and everybody ought to get what they deserve, including God. That's the context of 11 verse 1. But I think there's a practical illustration of this verse. You know, the wisdom tells me that I don't need to get out of balance. You know, when they weighed something and they put, what they would do, they'd take, like if you wanted a pound of wheat, they would have a scale and they'd put a pound weight over here. And then they'd weigh the wheat until it levels out, till it's balanced. That's what they would do. That's why the cheater had a weight that was not exactly a pound, so he could cheat people out of the price of what he was selling them. God wants your life to be balanced. You know, God is a balanced God. God is so balanced. As a matter of fact, he's balanced in a way that just drives people crazy. Because when people look at the Bible, they look at a God of grace, right? But on the other side of that scale with God's grace is God's truth. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. Now, grace is what is unmerited favor. It's stuff you don't deserve. And certainly God is a God of grace. But that doesn't mean He's any less true. His truth is never changing, and the scale of God is perfectly balanced. He will show you grace, but not at the expense of His truth. He's not going to ease up on the truth to show you more grace. He's balanced. You think about how balanced God is. You know, people often talk about God being a God of love. Well, put the scales up here, and this is what you have. You have God that is a God of love. But on the other side, you have God is holy. And it's a perfect balance. You know, some people don't see God as a God of love. They just think He's some righteous, holy, mean God up in heaven that's ready to smite somebody or throw people in hell. And so people are turned off at God, and they're turned off the Bible because He's just this mean, omnipotent, perfect being, and that's not the way He is. He's very loving. Very loving. God is, look, love is of God. Love is a characteristic of God, of His own character. But if you have a God of love without a God of holiness, you have a perversion. Just like if you have a God of holiness without love, you have an ogre. And God's right there in the middle. And He does not compromise His holiness to love anybody. No one. And yet His love, He can love people, and His holiness will never change. Perfectly balanced. Didn't we see that in the Lord Jesus? I mean, you know, God is a kind God. The Bible says after that, the kindness and love of God toward man appeared. God's kind. You know, he's kind to the just and to the unjust. He's kind to people that are evil. He still rains on them. He still gives them sunshine. He still lets them breathe. God is a kind God. He's kind to perverts. You think about that. He still lets their life continue on and gives them good things to enjoy. But there is another balance to God, and that's God's wrath. God, there's a lot of anger to be understood about God. But he's not overly angry, but he's not overly kind. He's perfectly balanced in the middle. I mean, look at Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ would go into a garden and cry his eyes out and pray. He'd also look over the city and tears would run out his eyes as his heart broke over people. And at the same, another moment, he'd take out a whip and he'd start just whipping people black and blue out of the temple and throwing over tables like a wild man. You say, how is that possible? He's perfectly balanced. He's perfectly kind. And he's perfectly angry when, you know, if you can't get mad, look, if you don't have a temper, there's something wrong with you. If you don't have, you know, a sword is tempered to be sharp. That Bible's sharp. If you can't get angry at the devil, if you don't get angry at sin, if you can't get angry at the things that happen in our world, there is something wrong with your makeup. There should be anger in people's lives about evil. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to have anger. God is angry with the wicked every day. That's a verse in the Bible. But look, he's not overly angry. He has wrath for the wicked. Look, he can just as easily, this is, only God could be this way. He can just as easily say, in the judgment, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, and throw people into outer darkness. At the same time, tell somebody that was just like that person, but because they repented and trusted Christ, say, enter into the joy of thy Lord. God is perfectly balanced. Now listen, you know what's wrong with us? We get out of balance. Now, I think this is one of the things this verse is practically is trying to teach us. A false balance is abomination unto the Lord. We need to get our lives back in an even kilter with God. We need to have compassion, but we don't need to forget justice. You say, well, what is the scale? The person of Jesus Christ is the scale. You know what God's trying to make you? He's trying to make you like Jesus. You say, well, preacher, how can I be just zealously angry at evil and just tenderly loving at the same time? You can't without being like Jesus Christ. That's why that Bible talks about that fruit of the Spirit. You know, that's nine things wrapped in one puzzle that makes you a balanced person like Jesus Christ. You got love there. You got joy there. You got peace there. You know what else you got there? Long-suffering. I mean, that's on the other end of the spectrum. You've got some temperance there. You know what temperance is? That's controlling yourself. You know, you can't walk around like a flower child, love and joy and peace, and be like Jesus. You've got to get to the end of the rest of it to balance it out. You've got to have that temperance and that goodness in your life. And so many times, guys, all of us, we have blind spots. And we have this going real good for us, but our teeter-totter is out of whack. Y'all know what a teeter-totter is? Our seesaw is out of whack. Have you ever been on a seesaw? Man, I tell you, it's been a long time since I've been on a seesaw. Have you ever been on a seesaw and the other person just jumped off all of a sudden? And your sitting down place felt it for a good while? You know what happened? Something got out of balance. There wasn't the same weight on the other side. Right? Now, God is trying to keep us from crashing to the ground by having an unbalanced life. He wants our weights and our measurement to be like Jesus. I'll give you another word, Philippians 4, 5. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. That means you're not to go overboard with things. Now, let me say this. You cannot go overboard loving Jesus. But you can go overboard in some things and not become like Jesus Christ. Let me show you a strange verse. Would you go to Ecclesiastes verse 7, chapter 7? I'm trying to tell you God doesn't want us off center. And the scale is Jesus. We saw in Ephesians chapter 4 that he's trying to get us to the measure. There's a measurement. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God's trying to get us in the measurement of God. Equal. You say, man, I could never be put on the scale and it's balanced equal with Jesus Christ. Well, I don't think that would be in the Bible. Now, I know when we see Jesus Christ, he'll change us and make us perfectly that way on the outside as well on the inside. But look, God's trying to work in your life to bring you up to the measurement of Jesus. Now, what I'm asking, where are the scales? How are the scales in your life? We're going to get to the next chapter in Daniel. About Belshazzar, we still got a little ways to go with Nebuchadnezzar, but Belshazzar, you remember what God wrote on the wall? You're weighed in the balances and you're found wanting. In other words, you don't measure up. Your scale is tipped to one side. You've come short somewhere. I don't know about you. I don't want to come short in my Christian life. I don't want to get off center. I don't want to get out of balance. Ecclesiastes 7. Now, I understand this is written from a man with a viewpoint under the sun, but just look at it just a minute. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 16. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? You know all he's trying to say here? He's trying to say you need to keep yourself in balance. Let me give you, this is a crude illustration. You know, if you got to be so spiritual that you thought you could just quit your job and go on a mountain somewhere and pray all day, do you know that's out of balance? You understand that? Because the Bible also tells you if you don't work, you shouldn't. Well, no, I just believe in... You know, that's what these monks and these Buddhists, all that, you know, they're meditating. They just go on a hill somewhere and they meditate all day and get one with their God and go into nirvana. Well, God doesn't want you to pray all day long. He probably wants you to work some too. That's just true. Jesus Christ did not spend the first 30 of years of his life in a prayer closet. What was he doing? He was making stuff. You know why? Because he was balanced. Now you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? You're trying to say we don't need to pray? No, you do need to pray. And if you don't pray and all you do is work, your scales tipped over and you crashed out. But how about this? How about people, now watch how we get out of balance. How about people that pray a lot, but they don't ever read their Bible? You see how that's out of whack? And then there's some people, they just are all about reading their Bible, but they don't ever pray and get a hold of God. We can just get out of kilter with the character of Jesus Christ before we realize it. How about some people? I tell you what, those people that pray all the time and read their Bible all the time, what we need to do is just witness all the time. You know, there's some people that spend a lot of time witnessing, but don't spend a lot of time with God. Well, what are we supposed to do? You're supposed to witness, and you're supposed to pray, and you're supposed to read your Bible, and you're supposed to work, and you're supposed to have a balance in your life like Jesus. And a lot of times what we do, listen guys, I'm telling you, this is what we do in the Christian life. We say, man, I'm doing so good here, but something else is not doing so well. So you know what I need to do? I need to go to God and say, God, make me like Jesus so my scale can get back in the center and be the Christian that you want me to be and be the individual that you're pleased with. And I won't go to extremes with things. You know, he said in that text in Ecclesiastes 7, he said, be not wise overmuch, or be not, neither make thyself overwise. You say, how could you be too wise? I think this cat did get too wise. I think Solomon got so smart. He got so smart. You know what he did? He said, I'm going to try even stupid stuff so I can write about it. That's what he did. He said, I'm going to enjoy mirth and wine and women and music. He said, I'm not doing it to be wicked. I'm just doing it to learn about stuff. That wasn't too smart. You know, some people are too smart for their own good. You know that? Some people are crippled too high for crutches. I mean, they've got such an education in their life, but they don't. Look, you can go overboard with anything. But you know how you do it the other way? There's other people say, well, I tell you what, we ought not worry about education. We just ought to worry about God. And then they grow up and they don't know nothing. Well, that's good grammar. I showed my education. They don't know anything. Do you see how it goes? Like that guy one time, I pastored, you know, we tried to help his kids. And he came to me and said, preacher, and I said, man, your kids, boy, I didn't say this, they're dumb as a box of rocks. I mean, they don't know how to get out of the rain. You know what he told me? He said, well, I don't care if they're stupid, I just want them to love Jesus. There's just something tilted about that. How are they going to make a difference in the world for Christ if they don't know anything? But then you got people that say, I want my kids to excel in school and be the smartest and the best and the brightest. And then they don't know God. You see how it gets out of whack? And it's so easy. People get on tangents. And they just think, this one thing is the know-all and do-all. And they're out of balance. And Jesus was not that way. Jesus wasn't a man of letters. Jesus wasn't a man in their educational system, but he was still smart. He was still wise. He was still a student. He had grown and strengthened himself in knowledge. Don't get out of balance. Let's think about the Christian life just for a minute. How we can get out of balance of the Christian life. You know, some people emphasize just the stuff they do. And they think that's the end all, sum all of the Christian life. You know, the Christian life is not just doing things. It's not just going to church. It's not just giving your money. It's not just having the right personal standards. Listen, on the other side of that scale is your motives. You know, a lot of times people can do all this stuff, but it's not with the right heart reason. It's not with the right motive. They're not sincerely trying to please God. They're just doing stuff that they think is Christianity. Christianity is not just about doing stuff. It's about being something on the inside. Well, then you have on the other side the people that get out of whack on the balance. Say, well, we just need to be sincere and it doesn't matter what we do. And their scale comes crashing down. No, we are to do things, we are to say things, but we need to have the right motive behind it. I'll give you another thing. You know, a false balance. We're just talking about practical things. You know, the Bible says that we as Christians, we need to have a fighting spirit about us. There needs to be, there's supposed to be some militancy about Christians. And you need it today, friend. It's not by accident that New Testament talks to you about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's no accident it tells you to earnestly contend for the faith. There's no accident it says taking you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. It's no accident it says fight the good fight of faith. Those are militant terms. You got to have a militant fighting spirit about you or the devil's going to run over you. But you know what I've seen? I've seen some people throw that scale so high up there, and their heart wasn't tender, and their heart wasn't submissive. You have to have a fighting spirit, but you also have to have a tender heart. And I'm telling you, Christian, That is a balance that only the Spirit of God can work in your life, and we all need it. And usually we're leaning one side to the other. Either we're too tender about stuff and too weak in spirit, or we're too harsh and militant. It's like your kids. You know, you can correct your kids too much. And you certainly can correct them not enough. You can be tender and loving to your kids, but at the same time, they also need discipline and they need the rod. You know what I've watched? I've watched people that are overly disciplinarians and it has ruined their child. And then I've watched people that are overly loving and hugging and also ruin their child. It's like preaching. There's got to be rebuke there, right? But it's not only that. There's got to be a balance. You know, even some preaching is so out of balance. That's why I make myself preach through the Bible, so I'll never hobby horse stuff. You know, you go to some churches, and 50% of their messages are on the same stuff. And if they couldn't preach on it, now, you know, the liberal churches have their stuff, and the conservative churches have their stuff, they made their own. You know, the liberal churches is, you know, acceptance and liberty and love and all that. God's got a great day for you. Heaven, every message is a heaven message. Then over here, every message about hell. You know, you can preach on hell too much. I heard that from Bob Jones Sr., and he preached on hell harder than anybody ever heard in my life. He screamed, I thought I was in hell when he's screaming. And that same man said, you can preach on hell too much. You know what God tells us to do? He says, preach that word. You know what that word will do? It'll cover everything about your life if you'll keep going through it. In other words, I don't just get up here and preach on church attendance half the time. I don't just get up here and preach on standards. I don't just get up here and preach on soul winning. You can take those three subjects and I still got 85% of the Bible to preach. You understand? But if I fail to do that, I'm out of balance. I'm just telling you, it's so easy to get out of whack. Oh man, I've got this one down. Yeah, but let's take a step further. What else was Jesus all about? Some people say, well, keeping rules of righteousness have nothing to do with Christianity. That's not true. The Bible says there's a law unto Christ that we're to keep. That's a New Testament thing. There are rules about the Christian life. But if that's all your Christianity is about, you missed the boat. And then on the other side, you know, is a relationship, a heart relationship with the Lord. Are you listening to me? You can do all the rules and be a million miles away from God. Your hair can be cut right, and it should. And you can dress right, and you should. And you should have all the things that please God right, and you should do that. But your heart can still be out of balance. But then there are other people who say, well, as long as my heart and I'm loving the Lord and worshiping Him and praising Him, it doesn't matter. It all matters. Amen. It's the balance. And the false balance doesn't please the Lord. I've met some people about witnessing. They get out of balance. They get theologically out of balance. You know, when we lead somebody to Christ, you know what we ought to do? You know, praise God, we don't live in the day where somebody came forward and they didn't know how to be saved and we just left them alone down there to pray through and they didn't have any instruction or help. We don't believe in that. We believe in helping people get to Jesus. And it's all right to tell them they need to trust Christ and pray and show them the way to do that. But you know what's the false balance? Is just going to them and say, just pray this, just say this. You understand what I'm saying? And so you've got to deal with people in a right way. It's like that Calvinism Arminian question that just plagued the church for so long. They didn't understand. They thought Calvinism way here that, you know, we're saved eternally and we can never lose it. That's true. But God chose us that before we were born. That's not true. And the Armenians over here with their wrong theology said, well, salvation is a choice of the will. And it is.
But then they said you can lose it when you make a wrong choice later on. And they were out of whack. And the people that lived there didn't know that they could take Calvinism and Arminianism and throw it both in the junk pile and stay even in the balance. Salvation is a choice of my will, but God keeps me saved. There's a balance there. Trust in God. Was it Wesley that said, pray like everything depends on God and work like everything depends on you? Boy, that's a good balance. Some people just say, well, God will just take care of it and I won't do anything. That's wrong. Then other people say, well, I'll just do it all. And you can't. I can't. We got to trust the Lord. It's like some of these people, you know, that say, well, I'm just going to trust God and I'm not going to get health insurance. Now, I'm meddling now. I'm just talking now. But have you met people like that? Well, maybe you're like that. I don't know. If you are, I'm not mad at you. I'm just, but I'm just saying this. Look, there ought to be a balance. Look, you wouldn't say this. You wouldn't say, you know I'm on empty, but I'm not going to fill my gas tank. I'm going to just trust God to get me to my meeting. No, you would be responsible enough, right, to fill your gas tank up. Is that right? Well, there's some responsibilities we need to take on for ourselves. And then there are other things that we can't do for ourselves. We got to trust God for. That's called a balance. And Jesus was that perfect one. And the Spirit of God and the Bible is that balance. We ought to live in light of that balance. There's some people that overly emphasize the home to the point to where they don't even have to go to church. Right? And then there's some people that overtly emphasize other things to the expense of their time with their children. You know what I know? You need a church life, and I also know you need a private life. You need a family life. We understand that, but not at one at the expense of the other, and duties never conflict. You've got secular obligations. You've got work obligations, but not at the expense of spiritual obligations. They don't conflict. And if they do, then you need to go to God and ask God to reconcile those things, and He can do that. You can take care of your family and still do right by God. One of them doesn't have to suffer. I've seen some people that'll grab one truth, say, well, I got to provide for my family, and then they miss church all the time to think they were doing that. That's just out of balance. Because there's other things to provide for your family besides money. You understand? We have to be careful about that balance. There's some people, you know, they emphasize their health. Look, you know, there's a verse in the Bible about your health. John wrote, you know, I wish above all things that thy that you be in health. I think that was 3 John, maybe. Hey, that's great. You ought to be healthy. You know, some people get so whacked out in the scale with that. They're more concerned about their health of their body than their soul being right with God. That's just out of balance. But at the same time, God doesn't want you right with God and eat 20 bags of potato chips a day. You understand what I'm saying? You can just get so, we can get so whacked out. Well, if I drink all this green juice, I'll be healthy. Be as healthy as you can be healthy, but don't be crazy about it. Right. Don't get the scale out. If you spend more time in your health than you do about praying and trying to lead people to Christ and getting in that Bible, there's something out of balance. Amen. People do that with the way they look. Right? Here goes the scale. Spend all the time on the face, all the time on the body, all the time on the teeth and the skin. I'm telling you, people spend more on their bodies than they'd ever spend on God. And the scale. But then there's this guy. God doesn't want you to walk in church with a toe sack on. I've met... Well, God doesn't care how. No, we want you to bathe. Guys, I have been around. I've seen it all. God wants us to be presentable. I combed my hair before I came to church. But amen, there ought to be a time limit on it. Right. There need to... Balance. The answer is not shaving your head either. You know, the same way with money, guys. Now, some of this stuff, that it really doesn't all have to do with the Christian life, but it has to do with life. God's concerned about your life. You know, there's some people that hoard all their money and save all their money. And then when they die, they're just going to leave it to somebody else. What a waste. God's against all that. But then there's some people that don't think you ought to save a nickel. You know what we're probably going to have to do once we get this bill and pay off? We're probably going to have to save some money. Because there's a lot of repairs that are upcoming. And you know what? I ain't going in debt again by the grace of God. Well, guess what? If you got a big expense, the money don't just fly in. You got to save it. But you can get out of balance. We're not going to save money out of the expense of giving to missions and doing what God wants us to do. There's got to be a balance. And what I'm trying to tell you is, if you don't have a close relationship and dependence on the Holy Spirit, you'll never find the balance. You'll always have a blind spot thinking you're doing okay at the expense of something God's trying to bring up more to be like Jesus. That's why we need a Bible. That's why we need the Holy Ghost to shape us into the right image with the right measurement to make me like Christ.